Welcome to Turning Point. I'm Scott Catoon, and Keep Me Honest is my co-host, Anne Marie. As always, we've got a great show for you today. Joining us is a group of unbelievable entrepreneurs, and these guys are going to be serving all kinds of drinks, I think, today. We've got Below Deck Silver Rum,
it's
which
12
is...
12 o'clock somewhere.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, you alcoholic. Jesus.
Anne Marie starts early.
That was the best intro we've ever done. Okay, welcome, fellas. And so here's the thing. Normally, I introduce the people who are on the show and like what they do.
Wait, no, you can't. They have to...
No, you guys are introducing yourselves today.
Because you do like a quiz of people can figure out who's
first off, you all sound the exact same, so I'm already in trouble. And second, there's twins, which is cheating. I have no idea who any of you guys are. I just know Anne Marie said you're going to be a lot of fun, and you brought booze, so we're in great shape. Thank you so much for coming. Please introduce yourselves. Start from left to right.
I feel like we should introduce ourselves as Al Capone. Like, we have alcohol, we're starting to drink. Like, who are these mystery men?
We just turned WGN into a speakeasy.
I'll start on, and then I'll let the twins go to work. So my name's John Mandel. I'm one of the co-founders of Tiz.com, the star poll talking today. I also help co-found Ezra's.com with these guys.
No one's going to be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem.
I'm Jonathan. Oh, just kidding. I'm Adam Newman. I'm one of the co-founders of Tiz.com and Ezra's.com as well.
I'm Parker Newman. I am the other co-founder of Tiz.com and Ezra's.com. Am I allowed to push this slow-mo button?
Yeah.
Whoa.
This is like, I'm in a time warp now. I feel like I actually drank the rum already.
Malkovich.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, wait. So there's a big reason why I would I wanted them on the show.
Go for it.
Okay. Besides the fact that I consider you guys friends, right? But the success that they've had, this is what every entrepreneur should be paying attention to and realizing that there are turning points that you need to take advantage of. And they're always looking for opportunities. They come from different, but like the twins, I'm just going to call you the twins.
The twins.
I've had many exits. And then you have a rock star financial dude named Jonathan who has just, what they've done in such a small period of time, people need to pay attention to. They've always been at the edge of their seat just waiting for the next opportunity. So
they've got my attention.
Thanks for that intro.
Wow, my parents don't even talk about me like that.
My parents don't even know what I do for a living. Yeah.
No one's ever called Jonathan a rock star.
Well, we have now.
Yeah,
that's
right.
True.
So I guess
you have a mic in front of me.
You are a rock star today. Yeah. Why don't you kind of get into a little bit about sort of how you guys, what's your entrepreneurial journey? How did you guys start? You know, you guys are pretty young guys. How did you guys get this thing rolling?
Yeah, so I'll give you kind of a quick rundown. So we have known each other since high school. We actually have a fourth partner who started Ezra's with us, and we were all kind of in different areas of the country.
Ezra is a brick and mortar.
Yeah, so Ezra's is a brick and mortar liquor store. We specialized in craft spirits. We also have a website, Ezra's.com, and we saw kind of what was happening with craft beer starting to happen with these kind of, you know, small micro distilleries. And we wanted, you know, there's so many of them, but we wanted a way to kind of better tell their stories, introduce people to their products. We created, you know, this website and this retail store called Ezra's in Lincoln Park, located on Armitage. And, you know, we're all, you know, we're tech guys. Like, we're always trying to solve problems, especially in our own life. So we were running this liquor store. It was a little small 1,000-foot liquor store. And literally, we're managing like 20 sales reps. Like, it's crazy. Like, we are like probably like last on their list of accounts. We literally have 20 sales reps coming in and out of our doors. And we're like, this is
writing
like,
on paper what the orders were.
Yeah, I mean, they're like handwriting orders. Like, literally, like some of them don't even do email. And we're like, this is like crazy. I mean, like, there's got to be a way to solve this. So, you know, we sat down and we're like, okay, how can we, you know, do a better version of this. Like, there's got to be a better way. And we created Tiz.com. That's T-I-Z.com. And essentially what we're doing is we're working with bars and restaurants and, you know, anyone who orders liquor for that matter to essentially bring their ordering process online. So instead of dealing with 20 sales reps, you're dealing with one platform that allows you to kind of do
it's
all your ordering.
It's very clean,
too.
It's a very clean website, which is
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, a good analogy is, you know, any office building in the country, when they have to order toilet paper, they're not texting their Kimberly-Clark rep, right? Like, there's some sort of online platform.
Depends on how soft it is.
By the way, someone new is speaking.
I don't know what kind of...
Scott seems like the expert on that double ply.
Are you kidding me? Do you know how many... this place, the Tribune, has the worst toilet paper.
Oh, I'm sure.
It is... I don't want to get into it. We're on the record. Just trust me on this. It's not. Don't use it.
Maybe that's a business opportunity.
Yeah.
Hey.
Tiz 2.0.
Toilet paper industry domination.
So we basically, you know, said all these industries are having B2B platforms, and right now alcohol has no B2B platform. So every order that any bar or restaurant around the country makes, they text their sales rep, they email their sales rep, they call their sales rep, or their sales rep just comes in. And so, you know, we think over the next 5 to 10 years, it's a $140 billion wholesale industry. And we think that this market's going to go online, and we want to be the first to it.
But you don't think that you have that much of opportunity. What do you say that is actually, like, attainable?
I'd say, I mean, the addressable market is, you know, the $140 billion in sales. If you capture 0.1% of that in some sort of monetization, that's still $140 million in revenue. Yep. So I still think, you know, you have a big addressable market.
As a VC,
market.
We always appreciate when we go with addressable market as opposed to...
And then
to
we should probably clarify for a second and explain how the three-tier system works so people can understand what a distributor is. And I'm going...
Yeah, so pretty much we
new
got
person
into
speaking.
This.
Yeah,
yeah. This is
this is Adam speaking.
Adam speaking here. So we kind of got into this industry not really knowing. So we pretty much speed learned over the course of a year and a half. And with Ezra's and Tiz, we've been dealing with this very archaic system, the three-tier system of alcohol that predates the invention of the post office. So these are extremely old rules that don't make a lot of sense in today's day and age. But the bottom line is that a supplier who makes alcohol products has to sell to a distributor in each state. And then that distributor is responsible for selling products to all of the retail accounts that then go to the end user. So you have this sort of middle tier. You could say it's a little bit artificial, but it's existed for the past 100 years, and it makes it a little bit arduous of a process to order alcohol.
Yeah, so the distributors, they're sales agents and the logistics companies.
I want to actually, you know, people can go to tiz.com if they want to learn more exactly what to do. Let's talk about their journey because I think
way
more.
Well, I mean, I guess I just think it's interesting you said you have multiple exits. I mean, that's something. How old are you guys?
We're 30, and that sounds way better than it actually is. But
well, don't change it. You guys are rock stars.
We don't appreciate modesty on this show.
Yeah, this
is modesty, all right.
It's called Turning Point. This is the last place you want to go with modesty.
Anne-Marie's like our hype man. I love it. We should take her everywhere.
That's why she's here.
Right.
Are you kidding? I had her on one episode, and I was like, so I had this idea about this co-host segment where you come on and hype the hell out of everything.
You can't even believe her hourly either.
Right now, the hourly is actually fairly reasonable. Right. But a couple ads here and there. Wow. But tell us about your sort of journey. I'm 31, so I feel like you guys are killing it.
Yeah, so I guess we start at the beginning. We'll start at the beginning.
I want you guys to do it in like 30 seconds because I want you guys to speak to the entrepreneurs on how to realize when to turn the
page. Okay, so
make it quick.
You know, obviously we're twins, we're really close, and we went to different colleges. I was at Indiana, he was at Washington University, and we wanted something that we could do together, so we started selling t-shirts in our dorm rooms. We realized that there was a bigger opportunity, so we started having custom t-shirts printed in LA. We got in some showrooms, we started approaching retailers. We sold to about 100 retailers, including Nordstrom's, Urban Outfitters. Awesome. Got our t-shirts on the Tonight Show, and such. And it was kind of from there that we got into the internet. You can kind of explain that one.
Yeah, so we started after that an ongoing competition site for skateboard design, sort of like Threadless. That same model, but it was strictly for skateboard art. And we did that for about a year. It was taught us a lot. It was not like a huge home run. We resonated really well with the designer community, not so much with the skateboard community. So had a lot of submissions, but didn't sell a ton of skateboard decks. We ended up selling that to a company called Infectious.com that was out of San Francisco, backed by True Ventures. And then it sort of had us addicted to, you know, these sort of web products.
Yep.
We've always liked, you know, niche businesses because we think it's easier to get base hits, easier to make noise, you know. You're not swinging for the fences.
Execution is everything in those.
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising like how easy you can find passionate communities that, you know, it's easy to monetize. I mean, when we started, you know, Ezra's, we didn't realize how, you know, how many people are into whiskeys.
You guys are obsessed with it.
Yeah, we've all become really... It's like
I am too, actually.
We brought you rum.
Yeah, you are. Sounds, yeah, right. Yeah. Bakers or whatever it's called.
Bakers, Oban, we can go all, whatever.
Yeah.
I literally, for people that are just meeting Parker, a lot of people don't know this, but Parker is a weapon, okay? And when he gets interested in something, he literally finds out everything there is to know about it. Parker could talk to you for an hour about whiskey, and like every minute – every second you'll be on the edge of a seat just because he is a literally dictionary when it comes to whiskey, like where whiskey's from, brands, product. I mean, it's actually incredible. He literally knows what's being distributed in Illinois before the distributors know. It's incredible.
You've got another hype.
Thank
man.
You. I know. Seriously, this is like
look
my new entourage.
Love in the room.
Oh. You gotta do this every day. What
you'd think we
tomorrow?
Already drank.
And then, so just to wrap it up really quickly, after that experiment with the skateboards, we started a wedding website provider for engaged couples, sort of like a DIY website builder.
Sure.
At the time, there was a lot of sort of classical theme stuff, and we sort of took the whimsical Pinteresty style that was really popular, and we did that for about 5 years until we launched Ezra's.
Very cool. I'm waiting for you, Emery. What's the follow-up? What's the
I
turning point you recognize?
We're kind of running a little bit out of
sure.
time, right? But
yeah.
If you guys want to just give some advice to people that are entrepreneurs or serial entrepreneurs or Jonathan quitting a corporate position to start your own company, you know, maybe just talk about risk versus reward.
Yeah, one of the things I was going to kind of tie it together here is also you mentioned something about finding those niche markets. I think a lot of people think like they have to hit this like grand slam.
Well,
I'm not going to
passion too.
Well, yeah, I mean obviously there's a passion point, but I think sometimes people overlook things because they think maybe not me personally. I don't find whiskey boring, but some people might find that one topic boring.
No think one they, finds you on whiskey boring.
Well, that is absolutely a certainty. But I think people think that you guys, not you guys in particular, but people will think it's boring and so it's not worth pursuing. When in reality, I think personally, you should always start small with something you just love. You just want to drive
absolutely.
It home. And then if it turns into more or bigger, then great. But yeah. I guess talk a little bit as we wrap up, sort of like a couple of words of advice mm-hmm. for people on how to find that thing they love and how to drive it home.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Anne-Marie's not going to like me saying this, but, you know.
Great start.
lifestyle businesses, I think, get sort of a bad rap. Like, you know, everybody thinks they need to raise money and grow and accelerate as fast as they can. But, you know, for people who are first-time entrepreneurs or who are thinking about taking the jump, you know, those are obviously very high-reward but high-risk endeavors. And I think that if you can sort of find these niches that you're personally passionate about, there's nothing wrong with bootstrapping a company that could provide you recurring income, passive income to, you know, figure this world out. And
I'm okay with that
world.
Comment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm pro-entrepreneur.
Cool, yeah, and I'm all for raising
money. Wouldn't
be where
I'm at if I wasn't.
I would say so.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I think, like, people, you know, they ask me a lot, you know, oh, I've always wanted to start a business. I think, like, you know, there's always the opportunity to start small, like, whether or not, like, if you love cooking, like, you could start a cooking blog and start detailing, like, your really, you know, cool recipes. Or it could even be like, you know, you can look out there and try to figure out, like, you know, let's say, like, you're really into hot sauce. Like, if you can curate a store and have a blog that goes with it that just kind of talks about, like, your journey through different hot sauces. Like, there's so much opportunity. And, I mean, Adam kind of said it well, but, like, not everything
well
needs.
Said it okay, but.
I love what Scott said because, like, since sort of jumping in the whole startup game and you know, learning everything there is, my new favorite word is a pretty boring word, but it's iterative, yep. Which every company, every product, anything you ever happen is an iterative development of something that happened before it. So look at a huge company like Apple. Like, where did the iPhone come from? Well, for the iPhone, they had the iPod, right? And they had, you know, six generations of the iPod before they ever came out with an iPhone. And so I love iterative development. So, Scott, like what you said, I think was point on. I think what the twins said was point on. So.
I agree to everyone. I mean, it was one of the main pieces that I always tell people, like with regard to the innovation thing, find what people want and what you're good at. Repeat, repeat, repeat.
Yeah, because you're going to go through so many struggles.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, being
this
VC,
is a struggle.
I've had four companies. Right. The struggle's real.
Like, the struggle's real.
You have to be passionate about it because you're going to get broken, you're going to get pushed down, and you're going to come back up, and the emotional roller coaster behind it. So, like, the fact that you're passionate about, you know, what you're doing and, you know, just taking the chance on yourself, the, again, risk versus reward.
Yeah, I mean, even as, like, a VC, like, I'm sure, like, you know the statistic that you're betting on one company to make up for the rest that don't make it. So, obviously, like, you know, the odds just kind of increase if you kind of can go out there and build a base for yourself,
mm-hmm.
make something that's defensible.
Yeah,
and just to touch on what John said, I think that's absolutely so true. You know, this idea of progressive enhancement, you don't need to spend a year launching with every feature under the sun. Start with a small feature, get people on it, and then really mm-hmm. focus on, you know, building out based on their feedback.
Great points, guys. Where do people go to follow you or get in touch with you if they want to learn more about you or your
companies? Make sure you give the address of...
So
Ezra's at 1128 West Armitage. You can go to Ezra's.com. And Tiz.com is our platform. Right now, it's basically only available to bars and restaurants. It's not a consumer-facing product. But Ezra's.com and Tiz.com.
And any entrepreneur that wants to get through an accelerating program, they went through the Generator that's up in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Love Generator, so...
Yeah.
The president of Marquette actually just reached out to me about trying to help them with a couple of different things, and he's going to come on the show and talk about their innovation initiatives and the commons and things and how
awesome
they're trying
program.
To put that in general.
All the people that pitched were just rock solid.
Joe and Troy are amazing guys.
Coupon code for Turning Point for Ezra's?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, so let's do it. Turning Point coupon code, Turning Point, and then it'll
awesome.
Be you know, $10 off your purchase.
Awesome. Sweet. Unfortunately, we got to wrap up
awesome.
Here. Thank you guys for doing that. That's awesome. We didn't even get to talk about like getting trashed in Milwaukee, which is really disappointing in my mind because that makes up like a better part
so
of my
next
life.
Next time.
We'll have to have you back for that.
Definitely.
That
people in Milwaukee drink?
No, not at all. Not ever since Miller moved to Chicago, they didn't stop.
I love how like every city in the country, like the Big Apple, the Windy City, it's called Brew City.
It's the best. Brew City. Miller Park, it's the best. You can watch this episode or more on Advisor TV, stream us on the WGN Plus app, or download each episode on iTunes. And remember to stay connected by following us on Twitter at WGN Turning Point.